right. Open your Bibles to 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 22. 2 Kings, chapter 22. We've had a lot of rain this last week. And boy, the South, down there, South Carolina, have been inundated. And I read a story about a fellow who was a chicken farmer down there. And he was in one of those low-lying areas. And every year the floods would come and just wipe out his chickens. And he went through this year after year. And the one year he came back from the chicken house. There had been a flood. His chickens had been drowned. And he said to his wife, I don't know what to do. I can't sell this place. You know, I owe more on it than I can't get out of here. And my chickens keep getting drowned. And I just don't know what to do. And she looked at him. She said, why don't you buy ducks? Amen. Good thought. We're in 2 Kings 22. Wives always have such wonderful wisdom, don't they? Say amen. Yeah, fellas, if we get you in trouble, say amen. Yeah, everything will be all right. You'll go home in peace. Amen. They always have such wisdom. Chapter 22, 2 Kings. We're going to read this chapter. I want you to follow along with me. The Bible says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah, that the king sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum, or total, the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people. And let them deliver it into the hands of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And then let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto the carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achborn the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asaiah, went unto Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Lord, thank you for this account of what happened under the reign of this King Josiah. We see there a repentance. We see there a turning. We see there a blessing that came from you. Now, Father, this morning we need your blessing upon us. We desperately need to hear from heaven. No doubt there are folks in this room who need to come to Christ. They've never been saved. They have no assurance that when they die they're going to heaven. And today their need is to get saved, to get born again. And we pray that you convict them and bring them, that we might show them the way. And then we pray for believers here. Father, most of the folks in this room would profess to be a believer. Help us to be the kind of believers you want us to be. Not just in word, but in our actions. Not just in word, but in our attitudes. Lord, that our lives might show forth what we profess to believe inside. Help us this morning to be tender towards you. Thank you that King Josiah was tender. We pray that we too might be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I titled this, A Pattern for Revival. A Pattern for Revival. Now, I want to begin by making this statement. The only hope for America today is a turning back to God. I believe that with all my heart. We're on the verge of another election, electing a president. We think that, well, you know, politically, let's elect somebody who's more conservative and et cetera, et cetera. And that would be wonderful. I'm sure it would help. But it's not the answer. The answer for America today is a turning back to God. You see, as we look around, we realize the foundation of our great country is that of Christian truths and Christian values. Our laws, our moral standards, and the core values of our country are all based upon the Bible, God's holy word. Sadly, today we've witnessed a grave departure from our Christian moorings as a country. Consequently, we are seeing the effects of that departure across the board as we experience the loss of God's blessings on our country. Listen, friend, I believe we're under the judgment of God. I believe things are going to wax worse and worse unless America gets back to God. However, the situation is not hopeless. I believe with all my heart that if America would turn back to God, He would once again bless our country. Thus, the need in America is not political, but spiritual. And the need in America is for a revival, a return to God of our country. In the text that we've read, we read about the nation of Judah, who's in a situation much like ours is today. As we pick up the story of Josiah, we want to back up a little bit and understand that under King Hezekiah, who was Josiah's grandfather or great-grandfather, there had been a great revival in Judah. Hezekiah had turned Judah as a king, had brought them back to the right worship and the right positions with God. And God blessed them wonderfully. But when Hezekiah died, a man named Manasseh took over. He was now king, and he was a very wicked man. And he led Judah in the wrong direction. He led Judah away from God. And then when he passed away, we find that his son became king, a man named Amon. And he followed in his daddy's footsteps, leading the country away from God. And now we come to Josiah. Amon dies, and his son Josiah now becomes king. He's only 8 years old when he becomes king. Now, I don't have a lot of time to expound on that, but understand he had help until he was old enough to make the decisions, etc. But we find when he was 18 years of age, he made some decisions. And as we read here, we find that when he becomes king, that Judah is in a very bad place. We find that the temple is in disrepair. We find that people are not paying any attention to the scriptures whatsoever. They're in the temple and nobody even knows they're there. And King Josiah now becomes the king. We read about Josiah and we find God working in his heart. And Josiah is tender towards God. And as we read here in chapter 22, chapter 23, we find that God uses Josiah to bring his people back to God. Now, as we read the account, we're going to notice some steps that Josiah took in leading his people in revival. And I believe as we do, we're going to see a pattern for revival. America needs revival. But for America to have revival, it must begin with God's people. We who call ourselves Christians, who claim to be born-again believers, must be the ones who are crying out, must be the ones who are seeking and pleading and putting ourselves in that position for revival from God. Today I want to share with you a pattern for us to follow that we might, like Judah, might have revival in our country. And if we sincerely desire revival, we must seek it and take those necessary steps to experience it. Revival, a pattern for revival. Well, I want you to notice, first of all, we can have revival and follow the pattern by demonstrating a tender heart towards the things of God. Josiah, it says in verse 3, and it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, to the scribe, to the house of the Lord. And he's to go, and he tells them they're to take the sum of the money. In other words, gather up the money. Count up the money. And he says, I want you to give it to the people who are responsible for the temple. It's in disrepair. It's been allowed to just be disregarded, and it needs to be taken care of like it really should be. So he was concerned there about the temple of God. It had been neglected. It was in disrepair. And what had happened was the temple lost its place of prominence in the eyes of the people. It no longer was to them what it once was. Now Josiah comes and he seeks to repair it, gather the money. The priests had become complacent, indifferent concerning the things of God. They let them slide. They ignored them. And Josiah's heart is very burdened by what he's seeing. Now, the last two kings were indifferent to what was going on. They didn't care about the temple. They didn't care about the scriptures. They didn't care about following God. Josiah, we find, is tender towards it. And I want you to understand that those who desire revival today must of necessity be tender towards the things of God. What am I talking about? Listen, if we want revival, we need to recognize the broken down places in our hearts, in our lives, and around us. We need to recognize and give acknowledgement to the things that need to be repaired. I'm talking about things like dedication to the things of the Lord. Listen, I said revival has to start among God's people. And I think among God's people today, there's a complacency. There's a lukewarmness like was predicted over there in Revelation chapter 3 of the Laodicean church. Saved people. People who may come to church, but there's no burning, there's no zeal, there's no desire, there's no real fire of God in their heart and in their life. And I think we need to get back to that. To where the things of the Lord are important once again. I'm talking about the things like prayer. Listen, I'm convinced that God's people today are not a people praying like they ought to be praying. I think that's why our country's in such a mess, is because God's people have ceased getting in their prayer closet, have ceased begging God to intercede in our behalf. Other things have become more important than our prayer time. Listen, I've said many times, everybody's busy today. We're in a busy society. And the sad truth is this, it seems like we put such a premium on being busy. You know, if you talk to somebody and you say, well, you know, what have you been doing? Well, I haven't been doing much. You know what we think? Boy, what a slouch. People say, well, you know, I haven't been too busy. We say, well, what have you been doing? See, we have this idea, in order to be valuable, you got to be busy. But you know, we can be too busy. When we get too busy for God, we're too busy. I want you to ask yourself, how's your prayer life? How is it compared to other days? Is it stronger? Is it better? Is it consistent? We need to repair some places, and there are so many places we need to talk about. Bible study and church attendance and witnessing. Listen, we need to take steps to prepare what's been broken down, change what needs to be changed. Listen, as believers, we seem to lack tenderness towards the things of God. I said there's a lethargy. There just seems to be an opinion of God's people, just not real concerned. Josiah, thank the Lord, was concerned. He saw what was going on, and it burdened his heart. It troubled him, and he was tender about it. And I want you to notice this second thing, if we really want revival. We need to recognize the chastening of God. Listen, when a people, as a group, or when a person, as an individual, gets away from God, understand they're putting themselves in the place of the chastening of God. Let me put it another way. God is not going to bless disobedience and turning away from Him. When that happens, the blessing is removed. Now, it's interesting, as we read about Josiah, he acknowledged God's chastening on Judah. He said how these things had befallen Judah, and they were in trouble because of what they had done. Look at verses 12 and 13. The king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people of Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. Look at this next phrase. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that is written, which is written concerning us. Josiah understood, hey, we are in this position because we have gotten away from God. This is God's judgment. This is God's chastening. God can't bless us because we've gotten away from Him. We've let the temple get in disrepair. We've disregarded the scriptures. We've not given God His proper place in our life. All the people were not just distant from God, but they were disobedient and living ungodly lives. We find that they were worshiping idols. And over in chapter 23, it talks about how Josiah had come along, and we'll look at it in a couple of minutes, but he had tore down all the places of idol worship, and they were practicing witchcraft, and they were even sacrificing their children to idols. How far had they come from God and His ways? Josiah knew that all that was happening in his country was because it was the judgment of God on them. Those desiring revival must recognize God's chastening. Listen, if we really want revival, we have to look around and we have to understand we're in this place because of our actions and our attitudes. We need to recognize the loss of God's blessings on our life. Listen, we need a revival in our country, and this revival in our country is only going to come, you listen to me, by revival in individuals. See, each one of us needs a revival. When we get revival, then that revival is going to spread. We need to get to that place where we get back to God and understand that the reason we don't have God's blessings, the reason we don't have His peace, the reason we don't have His power is because, the reason we don't have His fellowship is because we've gotten away from Him. When's the last time you had a prayer answered? Ouch! Huh? When's the last time you had a prayer answered? When's the last time you saw God move in your behalf? How long has it been since you had the peace of God in your heart and the power of God in your life? How long has it been since you could read this book and it spoke to you? You weren't just reading words. God was ministering to you. You were seeing things and He was speaking to you and helping you understand and maybe convicting you. How long has it been? Listen, friend, if it's been a while, you need revival. You need that fire stirred up in your heart. You need to get back to where you should be. The chastening hand of God ought to cause us to recognize where we are. That's what happened with Josiah here. He looked around and he said, oh my goodness, look at our situation. Look where we are. Look how we've lost the blessings and look how far we've gone. And it's all because we've gotten away from God. Listen, we need to understand God cannot bless those who wander away from Him and those who disregard Him. The purpose of God chastening is to bring the wandering one back to Him. We need to understand that. Listen, as individuals, many times we get away from Him. Hey, you listening? We don't get revival once in our life. We need revival all the time. It's so easy to backslide. It's so easy to get complacent. It's so easy to get away. You may remember Pastor Verdena saying how when he went into the ministry, his preacher told him, you need to preach on revival about every 6 weeks. Because that's how often we need it. Listen, friend, we need it individually. We need it as a country. I look around America and it's not anywhere near what I grew up in. There's a lot of good things about what's happened in America, but there are some things that really tear my heart out. I was thinking the other day about, you know, some of you young folks, you'll never believe this. Hey, you listening? Oh, listen to her and me. Good idea. That's why you came. You can talk to her anytime. Amen? So listen to me. But I was thinking about a time when I was a kid, and I was thinking about Sunday. Some of you remember Sunday. It was a day for family. It was a day for church. It was a day when the businesses closed. It was a day, listen, it was a day in Pennsylvania you couldn't buy liquor. You couldn't buy beer. You couldn't buy hard liquor. You couldn't buy wine. None of it. There was a day in Pennsylvania you couldn't even sit on Santa Claus's lap on Sunday. Any of you remember when Santa Claus got arrested? None of you? Oh, down in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, he was in a Big C store. It was like two guys. And this was back in the early 60s. And it was Sunday, it was Christmas, and they allowed the kids to come in and sit on Santa Claus's lap. And because of the blue laws in Pennsylvania, they arrested Santa Claus. They did. But I remember that day. I remember, listen, I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. We didn't go to church every Sunday. But I remember this, Sunday was a different day than all the other days. Sunday was a day for family. You know, family would come and visit, or we'd go and visit. Sunday was a day for everybody to get together, eat dinner. Sunday was, and as I say, the businesses were closed. We didn't go shopping and all that kind of stuff on Sunday. We didn't play football on Sunday morning. Our kids weren't involved in Sunday morning football and cheerleading and wrestling and all that. No, they didn't have it on Sunday morning because they weren't allowed. Look how far we've come. Hey, do you realize that Sunday today is nothing more to most people than the second day of the weekend? That's all it is. And we wonder why we don't have God's blessings. I read a statistic the other day. 40% of our younger generation have no church affiliation whatsoever. Nothing. None. Nada. Listen, when I was growing up, everybody had a church. Maybe you didn't go, but you had a church. We go knocking on doors trying to talk to people about the Lord. I'm amazed at how many people don't go to church. Don't have a church. How many kids, listen, how many kids have never been told about Jesus and never been taught anything about God? And we wonder why America's in the shape she's in. Listen, we need a personal revival, because the only way revival is going to come to America is when we get revived. And we get back on fire. And we get back to where God wants us to be. And we need to recognize the chastening of God is His dealing and taking His blessings away so that people will come back to Him. That's what Josiah recognized. He said, hey, we've gotten away from God. That's why all this is happening to us. Thirdly, pattern for revival. Demonstrate a tender heart towards the things of God. Recognize the chastening of God. Then dedicate oneself to the doing of God's will. Now go over to chapter 23. 23 is where we find the action. Now we're going to see what Josiah did. 23:1. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. I love it. Look what he did. He got people back under the sound of the scriptures. He got people back to where the word of God is being proclaimed to them. Listen, America's tried to do away with the word of God. We've taken it out of our schools. You're not allowed to have it in any public place, you know, and they want to make it so the word of God is not anywhere. You know why? Because it convicts. What did Josiah do when they needed revival? Well, one of the first things he did was get the word of God back out there where it needed to be in prominence. He declared it. By the way, I bet he probably wasn't too popular with some people. Verse 3. And the king stood by a pillar, and he made a covenant before the Lord. Now he's getting real serious. Now he stands before a pillar and he makes a covenant, a public declaration before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all their heart, with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. He led His people to a place of, let's get back to God. And all the people said, let's get back to God. And so we find here, Josiah now is dedicating himself to doing the will of God. He says there that he would keep all of God's commandments. Notice he said all. Hello? He didn't say some. He said, I'm going to keep all of God's commandments. He said he would serve the Lord with all of his heart and all of his soul. He was going to be completely surrendered to the Lord. And then he was going to live according to the Word of God. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, I'm going to allow God's Word, the Scriptures, to dictate my life. It is going to be the guiding principle, the guiding source for my life. You know, it would be a good decision for every Christian to make that decision. See, I'm leaving you hang there for a minute. Because I find that many Christians have not made that decision. They're saved. They've come to Christ. They've accepted Him and put their faith in Him. And they may come to church and put in their tithe and even serve the Lord. But they've never come to a place where they said, I'm going to surrender myself and put myself under the Word of God and let it make the decisions of my life. That's where we need to be. Now, true revival brings dedication to God's will. When there's true revival, the one who's revived is going to long to do God's will. It's going to be a surrender. It's going to be a desire. You know, a lot of Christians are doing God's will not because they want to, but because they feel like they have to. We should be doing the will of God because we have that desire. I want to please You, Lord, so whatever Your will is, that's what I want to do. Those truly revived are going to strive to keep all of God's commandments. I think there's a lot of believers who read the Bible when they take it as, you know, we call it cafeteria-style Christianity. How many of you remember the old cafeterias? You know, you go down the line and you pick and choose what you want. Put it on your tray. Oh, I have some of this. No, I have some. Oh, I don't want any of that. Oh, yeah. Oh, none of that. None of that. Spinach? No, not on your life. We go down the line, right? Well, that's how a lot of Christians want to live their Christian lives. They read the Bible and they take from the Bible what they like. Oh, I have some of that. I have some of that. Oh, no, not that. No, 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 no. No, I'll leave that here. Listen, friend. We need to, if we really want revival, we need to come to the place, I'm going to take it all. I'm going to obey it all. I'm going to accept what God has. I'm going to obey myself as the Lord says, whether I like it or not. I'm going to quit picking and choosing what I obey and what I don't obey. I'm going to take it all as God's word and God's will and just surrender myself to it. We need to let God's word be the deciding factor in every area and every aspect of our lives. Here's something that grieves me. You listen? Here's what I find among Christians. I'm using the overall picture of Christians today in America. And that's this fact, that Christians today in America allow our culture to guide their lives rather than the Bible. Did you get what I said? They don't decide the what I'll do, what I won't do, where I'll go, where I won't go, what I'll wear, what I don't wear, what I say, what I won't say. Any of the decisions of life, they do not make according to God's Word and God's will. They make it according to what this culture say is okay. Culture says it's okay to go here, I'm going there. Doesn't matter what God says. Culture says it's okay to do this, I'm going to do it. Doesn't matter what God says. Culture says it's okay to wear this kind of clothes or lack this kind of clothing. I'm going to do that. Culture says it's okay to read this, so I'm going to read it. Culture says. Instead of getting back to the book and say, God, what do You say? How do You feel about this? And that's where I find Christianity in America today. We let culture dictate how we look. Listen, every year they come out with new fashions for our ladies, right? And our ladies got to run them by the latest fashion. Doesn't matter if it's modest or immodest. As long as it's fashion. Oh, I remember so many years ago, back in the dark ages, when I first got saved, and the mini skirt came on the scene. How many of you remember when that happened? Well, see, some of you don't understand. That hadn't happened before. You know, now it's... never mind, I don't want to go there. But all of a sudden, women started wearing mini skirts because the fashion people said, this is the latest thing. And you know what was sad? Christian women bought into it. Yes, and Christian women started going out and buying mini... I remember, Pastor Fidena had a piano player at the time. He had to fire her from playing the piano because she came into church in a miniskirt. And he wasn't going to have her up there on that platform in a miniskirt. And of course, she got mad about it. By the way, I just heard of a preacher last week, I just heard of a preacher had a big war in his church. He has a standard like we do for music. If a gal's going to be on a platform, it's a dress, a skirt, modest, down to the knees, top up, man tie, you know, some standards to be on a platform. Some gal came in a short skirt. It was immodest. He had to go to her and tell her, you can't be on the platform today. Oh, World War III! Ah, rah, 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 rah. What a shame. Instead of saying, you're right, preacher, this isn't appropriate. Get mad at the preacher. Well, culture says it's okay. You're going to live according to culture, you're going to live according to God. I made up my mind a long time ago, I'm going to live by what God says. I don't care what culture says. Culture says it's cool, culture says it's all right, culture says go ahead and do it, I'm not going to do it. Well, getting quiet, so I'm going to move on. Finally, if we really want revival, pattern for revival, we need to be willing to make the necessary changes. This 23rd chapter, we don't have time to read it all, but it is so wonderful. It tells how Josiah eradicated idol worship from Judah. What he did was he went through the whole country of Judah and he tore down every high place of worship, every idol, all of it. He just took it all, burned it, destroyed it, ground it to powder, and got rid of it. He said, there'll be none of this in this country from now on. We're going to worship the one true and only God. And then he restored the Passover. Listen, these are the Jews, and one of their greatest high holy days, if you will, in their whole calendar was the Passover, and they hadn't been observing it. Didn't mean anything anymore. Well, Josiah said, oh yes, it does. And over here in verse 21, it tells how he restored it. And the king commanded all the people saying, keep the Passover on the Lord your God, as is written in the book of the covenant. Surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges, Judge Israel, and all the days of the kings of Judah. He restored the Passover. And then Josiah removed all that was wrong and abominable. In verse 24, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and wizards and images and idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem, did Josiah put away that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. You know what I put as a little note by that? Josiah cleaned house. That's what he did. He cleaned house. He got rid of a lot of stuff. You know, he got rid of all that stuff that was hindering God's people from being what they were. Listen, if we really want revival, we got to be willing to make changes. See, there's a song in our songbook, and it goes like this. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Sadly, that's where a lot of Christians are. See, that song goes on to sing how I'm not going to be moved from God. But a lot of Christians are in a place they bucked up like old mules. And they say, hey, I'm not moving. I refuse to change things in my life. I like it the way it is. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care how the Holy Spirit deals with my heart. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm comfortable. I'm not changing anything. Listen, if we really want revival, we need to be willing to clean house. We need to be willing to make some changes that need to be made. Listen, number one change, we need to remove any idols from our life. Does anybody here have a little statue at home on an altar that after church you're going to go and bow down to? No, we don't have those kind of idols. But listen, according to the Scriptures, anything that we put ahead of God, you listen, or the will of God, becomes an idol. What we're saying is we love it more than we love God, and we're willing to follow it more than willing to follow God. Listen, we need to examine our lives and say, do I have any idols in my life? See, idols can be material things like cars or boats or houses. Idols can also be things like an occupation or a hobby or a relationship. Listen, anything we put ahead of our love for God and our desire and willingness to do His will becomes an idol. We're following it, we're not following God. And we need to recognize that we need to clean house. We need to say, I don't want any idols in my life. I want God to be number one. First priority in my life. Then, we remove anything that God identifies as sinful and abominable. Sinful and abominable. Excuse them, they're on an assignment where they have to take care of this baby all day. And when it gives an alarm, they have to go care for it. I didn't recognize them as visitors, the babies. I didn't even get their names. But listen, we need to really examine our lives and say, I'm going to get rid of anything God says is sinful and abominable. I'm talking about maybe some habits. Using tobacco. Listen, Christians ought not to use tobacco. Where do you find that in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. We're not to desecrate this body with anything. And anybody, even the unsaved crowd, knows that tobacco will desecrate this body, harms this body. I don't care if you dip it, snort it, chew it, rub it, whatever you do with it. Get rid of it. Liquor. Alcohol. God never intended for His people to be drinking liquor. He says, I don't agree with that. Well, read your Bible. Read Proverbs chapter 23. Read Proverbs chapter 20. Read different areas in the Old Testament, New Testament, where it talks about the influence of wine upon people. And by the way, come and explain to me what good alcohol has done in anybody's life. I'm talking about some habits. I'm talking about maybe tobacco. I'm talking about alcohol. I'm talking about viewing pornography. Listen, you realize that's a habit with some people? I'm talking about they've gotten into it and now it's a habit that they cannot break. Listen, God can help you break that habit. If you really want a revival, God will help you, but you need to make the decision. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but that's what's keeping a lot of people from revival. They have these kinds of things in their life. I'm talking about viewing improper things. I'm talking about improper reading material, improper music, improper clothing, improper things in our life that just need to be dealt with. Hold your place there. I want you to go over to Acts chapter 19. I want to show you what happens when people get revival. I want you to look down at verse 19. Well, verse 18. Here's Paul preaching. In verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, watch this, which used curious arts, that's all kinds of occultism, curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. See, when there was a revival, people decided, I have things in my life and in my home and around me that need to go. You know what they did? They brought them down and they had a big fire and they burned them all. Listen, I believe there's some Christians. You got some things in your home. You got some things around you. Maybe they're at work. Maybe they're on your computer. But friend, you need to have a little burning party. I'm not talking literally. But you need to clean house and you need to get rid of some things. Because they're keeping you from having revival. You know, when you get real revival, whatever God wants becomes the most important. By the way, sometimes we need to clean our hearts out of the wrong kind of attitudes. We're not supposed to have anger and wrath and clamor and bitterness and all those kind of things in our heart. We can't have revival as long as they're there. We need to deal with it. Now, that brings us to this. I don't know about you, but I'm convinced the only hope for America is revival. I don't ever see politics bringing us back to where we need to be. See, politically, to try to bring America back to where she used to be would be like trying to put toothpaste back in a toothpaste tube. It's not going to happen. Because what's happened in America is what's happened in the hearts of people. The only thing that will change the hearts of people is revival from God. The only thing that's going to bring revival to the America as a whole is when God's people as a church, God's people as Christians, get with God and say, I want revival in my life. Let it start with me. And when God's church gets its fire back, then maybe we'll see America turn back. Listen, there was a time when the church, and I'm talking about God's people in America, had clout. We had power. We affected our country. We've lost it. We've become laughing stocks. See, when the church had power, God's people were living holy lives. God's people were yielded to God's will and doing what God wanted. Their lives testified of who and what they were. No more. See, they laugh at us because people say, well, I'm a Christian. They say, well, look how you're living. I don't know about you, but I want America to have a revival. I see a pattern here that if we would follow, we could see revival in America. It's got to start with us. Peter says judgment has to start at the house of God. And so I'm going to throw it out to you today. You want revival? Would you be willing to say, hey, I need revival? Josiah was tender, recognized the problem, and said, we need revival. And then he took the steps to see it happen. Number one, will you admit today? I don't know where you are spiritually, but if you need revival today, would you be willing to admit it? Is your heart tender and you say, oh, I really need it? And then number two, would you say, I need it and I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to get it. I'll give up what I need to give up. I'll start doing what I need to start doing, whatever it is that's keeping me from revival. I'm willing to change it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. A pattern for revival. We can have it. I don't believe God shut off the tap of revival. But we've got to want it. We've got to seek it. And be willing to put ourselves in that place where we can have it. Now, their heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to ask this question. How many Christians in this room? I'm talking about saved folks. could honestly say, "Preacher, you know, I believe I am living in revival. I believe I am walking with God and living for God and serving God as best I know how. Preacher, right now, I don't know of anything in my life that's keeping me from being what God wants me to be. I believe I'm living in that state of revival. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? I believe I'm there. You can put it down." How many Christians would say, "Preacher, I believe I need revival. God spoke to me today. I need that fire to burn bright in my heart again. I need to get back to some places I used to be in spiritually. I need to change some things in my life. I need to clean house, preacher. And God spoke to me today, and I want you to know I'm doing business with God right now. I'm seeking revival, and I want revival. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? I need it. I want it. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. Here's my hand. I'm willing to do what I need to do to change what I need to change so I can have revival." Put your hands down. Maybe somebody here today, you'd say, "Preacher, God spoke to me about some things in my life that need to change. He specifically spoke to me about some things in my life that I need to change, and I'm making a decision today. I'm going to change it. Some things you need to get rid of. Some things you need to clean house about. God spoke to you. Would you just raise your hand? You don't have to tell us what it is. You say, "But God spoke to me. I know what it is. I know what it is." You can put it down. "I know what it is. I know what's hindering me. God spoke to me. I know. And I'm making a decision today. It's got to go. It's got to go. I don't want anything to keep me from God's will and from loving God like I should. Here's my hand." Is there somebody here today say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I don't know, if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Nobody's ever showed me from the Bible how I can have eternal life. But today, I'd like somebody to take the Bible and show me how I can be saved, be born again, know I'm going to heaven when I die, have my sins forgiven. Preacher, that's my need and my desire. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. I need Jesus today." Let's stand together. Song number 489, "I Surrender All." I surrender all. Listen, God spoke to your heart. Will you do what He told you to do? Will you just be obedient to Him? That's all we ask. Just obey God. Do what He tells you to do. Father, bless the invitation. And our hearts do yearn for revival, personally and nationally. And Lord, we believe it all starts with Your people. It all starts with us as believers, that we put ourselves in that place, follow that pattern, be tender towards You, and allow You to do in us what needs to be done. Oh God, speak to hearts here today. And then for that one here without Christ, bring them in the invitation that we can show them the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you come today?